Na 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 Batman.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tammy Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, superhero vigilantes. Hello, and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Well, greetings, old chum.
Greetings.
Welcome, dear and dedicated listeners.
Yes. Yeah. We now have two listeners in the Philippines, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
On Spotify.
Oh, yeah. We're worldwide.
We are.
We might cut this out, but there's like a... One of my favorite Real Housewives of Atlanta quote
yes.
is, one of the women is like attacking Candy Burris.
Okay.
Who Candy
no.
is? She's one of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, and she's probably like one of the richest ones.
Oh.
And she wrote the song No Scrubs.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
okay.
So
yeah.
She's written a lot of like big songs
gotcha.
Like that. And
okay.
she was also in a, anyway.
Yeah.
So they were like, she was like, you know, they were in a fight. And, the girl says, like, you're only famous in Atlanta. And Candy goes, B, I'm worldwide. So that's one of my favorite quotes. Yeah.
We're worldwide. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like United States, Australia, mm-hmm. Philippines.
Indonesia. You said we had one in Indonesia?
We did, but mm-hmm. that second listener in the mm-hmm. Philippines has moved us up, moved that country up in a list of countries.
Okay, gotcha.
So, hello, Filipino friends.
Yes, absolutely. Welcome.
Filipino friends.
Yeah. So this might be our last vigilante episode.
I think so.
Maybe, unless you have another one Mm-mm. planned. Okay, so.
No.
Anyway, last vigilante episode.
Not until we get closer to publication date.
Maybe we can do like a book release
yes.
episode. Because right now, we're done with the book.
It's
sitting in publisher limbo, doing those kind of final tidy up tasks.
Yeah.
But we don't have a print copy yet.
No.
So maybe once it hits the shelves, we'll do like a promo episode.
Yeah, I definitely want to do an episode on Vigilantes, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. yeah, we'll have to wait for that.
Push that into the unknown future at some point. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So in pop culture vigilante episode, we ran out of time. My plan was to do, you know, like superhero vigilantes as a component of pop culture vigilantes, but we decided to dedicate a whole nother episode standalone to superhero vigilantes.
Yes.
And I mean, I talked a lot about Batman in our like premiere vigilante episode way back at the beginning.
Go back and listen to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did gender depictions in superhero comics, which is a really good episode.
Yes.
So this is our second and a half superhero episode. But hey, sorry. Deal with
it. Well, I mean, since, you know, you're the co-host, mm-hmm. you can decide to do that.
That's right.
Because you
it's
love
my
superheroes.
Prerogative. Yep.
Right.
So anyway, I'm throwing a surprise in here on you.
Okay.
It's
a quiz.
Pop quiz
Great.
Time. We haven't done a quiz in a while.
I'm anxious like a student. Mm-hmm.
But so this is going to be superhero theme songs.
Theme songs. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know anything.
Or
about
theme
this.
Music. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I bet you do okay on this.
Okay.
So I'm gonna like sing or hum the music.
Okay.
And you identify the superhero.
Okay.
Okay. So number one, here goes. Dun 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 dun.
Is that Superman?
Yes. Yes, that's Superman.
I'm really mm-hmm. having to pull from my memory, because I just,
That was the Christopher Reeve Superman music.
Yes, that's why it sounded familiar. Remember mm-hmm. it from the 80s.
Okay, number two.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. Na, 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 na,
is that Batman? Dun, dun.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was the Tim Burton Batman. That was the Tim Burton Batman music.
Ding, ding. Mm-hmm. Two for two right now. Feeling good about this.
Okay. Number three.
I don't know that one.
It's more recent.
I don't know.
It's the Avengers.
Oh, crap. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm blanking on this. I know it.
I know it,
but I'm totally blanking on it.
Look out. Here comes the
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Hurry. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And my iPad's going to be dead by the time we get through this quiz. Oh, yeah. Okay, go.
Last one. Dun-na-na-na-na-na-na. 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 Dun-na-dun-dun. This might be the hardest one.
Well, I'm definitely not going to get it. I barely got Spider-Man. Mm. And I missed the Avengers.
Oh, this was the X-Men, the 90s cartoon.
Okay, yeah.
Which I'm now in the middle of the 90s. They just released a new season of that on Disney. I'm in the middle of it. So good.
Well, I did not do very well.
Well, I'll give you a bonus.
Okay.
Okay, here's your bonus one.
Okay.
Na 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 na.
Batman.
Yes. All right, we'll go out on a high note here.
Okay, good. Gosh, I'm sweating over here. That quiz was hard.
Well, you did pretty good. You got 3 out of 5.
Sort of.
3.5.
Yeah, you had to.
4.5 if we count the bonus.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So a really interesting fact about superheroes is that the superhero archetype can be traced back to the KKK.
The Ku Klux Klan, for our listeners who should know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Particularly the 1905 Thomas Dixon novel, The Klansman, an historical romance of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes.
And I mean, of course, obviously, the first descriptive that comes to mind when I think about the KKK is romantic.
Oh, yes. So Ben Cameron, who's the hero of the novel, becomes discouraged about the threats to the white race and the complacency of his homeland. So he dons a white robe and mask to save the South from a threat that the government won't or can't.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting fact, this was turned into a film, 1915's The Birth of a Nation, which is credited with spreading and normalizing the Klan's racist ideologies. And as racist propaganda, it helped fuel the KKK's reorganization and attracted new members, leading to the largest Klan membership in the second era. They claimed 4 to 5 million members.
Isn't that romantic?
Very romantic.
Not. Yeah. But the novel 1905, the movie 1915.
Yes.
And then Superman wasn't created until like 38 or 39.
Yeah.
So we wrote about this in the book. Superman, first superhero. Batman, second.
Right.
Like a year later. But one of the iconic scenes from the origin comic book of Batman is, you know, Bruce Wayne's like pondering how to like scare criminals and intimidate them. And he's not been very successful so far. And he's sitting in his father's study. And at that moment, like a big bat comes like crashing and flying through the window. And then he's like, that's it. I will become a bat. But that scene is like very similar to a scene in The Klansman. So like Ben Cameron is kind of like, you know, pondering all of the, you know, degradation of the white race. And he sees a group of kids playing and like the white kids put on a sheet to be like a ghost and scare the black kids. And that's what inspires the costume of the Klan robes.
Right.
And that's not to say that comic book artists were inspired by the KKK to make superheroes off of that, but rather these tropes were kind of absorbed into a popular culture and then they became kind
of like and the origins just kind
types.
Of like disappear.
So back to the vigilante topic. So I read a Reddit about this topic. So, you know, like the topic of the Reddit was like someone was asking a legitimate question. So like, you know, some heroes are called superheroes and some are called vigilantes. What's the difference between a superhero and a vigilante in the superhero world? So here are some of the explanations that the commenters gave for that. So I'm going to give you the explanation and you tell me how you would evaluate it. Like the difference between a superhero and a vigilante. So someone said anyone without superpowers is a vigilante and anyone with superpowers is a superhero.
Whether or not you have superpowers, you're still working outside of the law, which is key for vigilantes. Should I define it now?
What?
Vigilantes, because we did define it before, right? Should we remind our listeners?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
I was just going to assume that our listeners would have to go back and catch up, but we'll be nice and tell us what a vigilante is.
Yeah, so when we're talking about vigilantes, we're talking about extra legal justice, right? So it's extra legal investigation, prevention, and punishment. So yeah, having superheroes is irrelevant. You could still be a vigilante with superpowers.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where this person is going, because a lot of those who are classified as like the vigilante superheroes don't have powers, like,
and are
Batman
human,
and
sort
the
of
Punisher.
Because if you have superpowers, mm-hmm. you're not exactly human, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. I think maybe they're making that distinction.
Mm-hmm. But then you have Daredevil, who's clearly categorized right. as like the one of the vigilante
yes.
superheroes, but he has superpowers. He yes. has, you know, he's blind and has like super sonar hearing.
Yeah,
so. It somewhat aligns, but there are exceptions to
okay,
that.
What else did they come up with?
Someone said anyone whose identity is hidden or who has a secret identity is a vigilante, and if their identity is not hidden, they're not a vigilante.
Well, state actors can be vigilantes, so that mm-hmm. also doesn't fly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't yeah. have to hide your identity.
I think the person's kind of thinking about like the Avengers particularly. So like Iron Man and Captain yes. America, everybody knew who they were.
Okay.
Like knew their real identities.
Yeah.
But yeah, the vigilante distinction doesn't have anything to do with
right.
Secret identity. Someone else said a superhero is authorized and legitimate.
Well,
and a vigilante is not.
They're getting warmer, but as I just said, mm-hmm. they're getting warmer. A state actor can be still a vigilante because mm-hmm. anytime they're going outside of the structures of the law, they are engaging in vigilantism.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are authorized mm-hmm. to have something to do with justice can still be vigilantes.
Yeah, we talked about that in our Dirty Harry episode when we debated Indeed. Whether Dirty Harry was an episode.
And police officers can mm-hmm. engage in vigilantism.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, and another response was a vigilante is out to punish criminals. So
yes.
they kind of made the distinction that like when a superhero punches somebody in self-defense or in defense of others, that's not punishment, but a vigilante is out to punish criminals.
Yeah, I say they're also getting warmer, right? Because mm-hmm. now they have actually identified part of the vigilante definition mm-hmm. is that you're seeking to punish, not defend yourself from something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I did kind of like rank order those in terms of ones that I thought were farther off base and ones that were
okay.
closer to the real answer.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of people obviously struggled with this question in the comments and struggled explaining
sure.
it because they don't have
a definition.
The insights yeah. of reading our, the advantage of reading our book and hearing our podcast
right.
episode. So, you know, as yeah. it seems like from your answer, you're kind of saying like all superheroes are vigilantes, that they're, that,
yeah.
you know, vigilante superhero, that's a, maybe a distinction without a difference.
Sure.
But in the comic book world, the superheroes themselves and the
yeah.
comic book writers do make a distinction between those who are kind of like clearly in the camp of vigilantes and those who are in
right.
Superheroes. But in that one sense that you were arguing, how would you argue that all superheroes are vigilantes?
Well, because they're all operating outside of the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's extra legal, even if they're, you know, sort of authorized to do it by the government mm-hmm. is giving them that. They're not working within our legal system, mm-hmm. even if they're protecting us from aliens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're going outside of those laws that protect us from extraterrestrial threats.
Yes.
Yeah. So certainly in that sense, all superheroes are vigilantes.
Yes.
Although sometimes, you know, you're kind of talking about like you can still be working for the law and be a vigilante.
Right.
But like Superman, Batman, the Avengers sometimes actually are officially, legally working for the government in an official capacity. And I think that's what the commenters were getting at with this kind of like legitimized, authorized. So like
sure.
in a lot of the comics in some of the films, like the Avengers are kind of like work for the United Nations
right.
or the World Security
right.
Council, and they're
yeah.
kind of like dispatched to go fight robot armies or
yes.
something along those lines. In the 60s Batman film, Batman was like a fully deputized police officer.
Yes.
So he and Robin were like duly deputized citizens of the law. And actually in the very first episode, the plot
yeah.
of that, Riddler was the bad guy in that episode.
Yes.
And so he sets up like this situation where he makes Batman think he committed a crime, and then Batman comes and arrests him, and he sues Batman for false arrest.
Which you can do if you're really
yeah.
like.
Yeah. So like Batman arrests
working within
him,
the system.
And he, you know, like Riddler has a gun, and then he like pulls the trigger, and it's one of those
fake
like cigarette lighters.
Yeah.
So anyway, in the Dark Knight Returns, Superman actually works for like the military, works for Reagan.
Yeah.
In the big showdown, Reagan sends Superman to fight Batman. So.
Yeah.
But in a narrower sense, as I said before, in the comic world, they do like kind of clearly make the distinction between like superheroes and those who are more vigilante. There's like a particular brand of superheroes who are considered the vigilante superheroes, like Batman.
Right.
Daredevil and the Punisher particularly, and there may be a few other. Sometimes Spider-Man's kind of thrown into the vigilante camp, and sometimes he's kind of thrown into the Punisher camp. I mean, in the superhero.
Yes.
I totally remember which order I said that. But anyway, Spider-Man, sometimes he's thrown in the vigilante, sometimes he's thrown in the superhero.
I gotcha.
So particularly if we're kind of thinking about like the superheroes like Superman and the vigilantes like Batman, how are they different?
Vengeance is mine. So I say that, you know, part of this is that they're motivated by vengeance. Mm-hmm. Maybe not for that particular like incident, right? But Batman's history, the Punisher's history with the death of their families, with the murder of their families. Mm-hmm. But also they're going looking for a fight.
Yeah.
So that's my answer.
Yeah, the vigilantes, like you said, they are going out looking
for a fight.
And So we may think about like superheroes as more kind of like reactive and defensive,
right?
And the vigilantes as more proactive and offensive.
Yes.
So think about like Superman. He's a good example of this. He usually doesn't fight like street criminals, although a lot of times like the movies will kind of like set that up as like the early scenes where he's like stopping bank robberies just to kind of like showcase his powers and how strong he is. But if you look at all of like Superman's big bad guys, they're either like aliens, he fights aliens like Brainiac or Doomsday or, you know, so like aliens with their own army, superpowered, or like majorly mutated monsters or machines like Parasite or Metallo. Yeah. So Superman's not like on the street stopping crime. He's fighting, you know, armies, he's fighting aliens, he's fighting monsters. Whereas the vigilante superheroes, they're usually like actively patrolling the streets looking for street criminal.
Right.
Superman, he's kind of just like hanging out waiting for aliens to invade and stops them.
Yeah.
But Daredevil and Batman, they go out on the streets every night looking, as you said, looking for a fight.
He's an alien defense system.
Right. Yes. So I think this is kind of what commenters were getting at with like the punishment point. And I think that's good point. Superheroes that are just protecting, they're not looking to punish. And vigilantes, as you said, like, it's about vengeance. Like they're out to take out their, you know, frustrations and their pain and the wrong that was done to them on the quote unquote bad guys.
Bad guys.
And someone on Reddit said that with vigilantes, there's more of an overlap with law enforcement. So it's like, you know, we don't think about police officers as like, you know, fighting monsters and aliens, but they're out patrolling the streets.
Yes.
So vigilantes are kind of doing the extra legal work that the police should be doing.
Yeah.
And they work on a local level instead of a larger scale. Like Superman is planetary.
Intergalactic, planetary, intergalactic. That's a Beastie Boys song.
Yeah. And like if you even think about like Daredevil, he's specifically associated with a specific neighborhood. Daredevil is like the devil of Hell's Kitchen.
Yes.
And they fight street crime robbers, muggers, gang members, drug dealers, etc. So that's who they're out beating up. Another component is kind of related to that, you know, the ineffectiveness of the police. We've talked a lot about this with like vigilante and pop culture in general. And I even mentioned this before in our vigilante episode, but like the Gotham City Police Department in, you know, all iterations, they're either corrupt or they're inept. They can't handle like the bad guys like the Joker. And of course, this is the reason for superheroes in general, that there's some big threat that our existing legal structures can't deal with, whether that be, you know, super criminals like, you know, the Penguin or superpowered monsters or aliens, etc. So in that sense, you know, kind of going back to the argument that all superheroes are vigilantes. But and although, you know, we said before, most vigilante superheroes like Batman and the Punisher don't have superpowers, Daredevil is an exception to that. The bad guys that they fight don't have superpowers either. So if you think about like Batman's villains, Some of them are like mutated monsters. They're a small handful, but like the ones that we think about, Joker and Riddler and Penguin, they're just, you know, humans with, mental health disorders. And that'll be a part of my spin. But Batman's really just out beating the heck out of.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a good point to also link to real world vigilantism, because especially in countries where, the security apparatus, they're also corrupt, including the police. This is commonly cited by vigilante groups as a reason for organizing to begin with, is that the police are just ineffective or corrupt or can't, basically keep them safe.
Yeah, the necessity for going outside of the law, that the law, the legal structures can't do what they're supposed to do, or they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
So a common element in superhero narratives and in the real world.
And then finally, retributive violence. And this also gets at kind of the punishment argument that we talked about earlier, that vigilantes are looking for, retribution, punishment, whereas superheroes are just trying to protect people or protect the city or protect the planet. And Spider-Man might be a good example. A good contrast here. Although sometimes he's kind of thrown in the vigilante camp because sometimes he's considered a street level. But anyway, vigilante superheroes are excessively violent. And obviously, as part of superhero media, violence is always the answer to stop the supervillain. So no matter what, you have that kind of epic final fight between the superhero and the bad guy. But superheroes typically try to incapacitate the bad guys when possible. So Batman, the Punisher, they're violent, beating up, killing. Whereas Spider-Man, usually he just shoots his webs and webs them up to stop them. You know, Spider-Man's not breaking bones and cracking skulls.
He's just doesn't have to, right?
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Vigilante superheroes give the bad guys the real violence they deserve. Batman, breaks their arms, beats the crap out of them. Punisher, who's the most violent vigilante in mainstream comics, has a huge body count and just graphically kills criminals. If you just look at the first season of Netflix Punisher, he kills a whole group of criminals with a sledgehammer, beating them up, gouges out somebody's eyes, slices the main villain's face off with a broken shard of a mirror. In the comic books, it's the same way. He's burning people alive and eviscerating and hanging people by their gut.
Above and beyond what is necessary to hurt someone. So it's sadism.
Right.
He incorporates sadism.
Yeah. The thematic point here is that he's giving people what they deserve. That's really what people deserve. They don't deserve to be webbed up or tied up, but they deserve to be
tortured,
eviscerated and have their eyes gouged out and get that retributive violence and vengeance that they really deserve. And that, kind of fits with what we talked about with Dirty Harry, that, this idea is that the police should be able to be rougher and to be more violent with criminals, but the law is what keeps them from doing this.
Right, and this could be one reason why police have incorporated the Blue Lives Punisher skull as their logo, because police believe that they should be able to have more freedom in enacting violence and doing what they need to do to protect people and go after the bad guys.
Yeah, so if you've seen the Blue Lives Matter flag, it's some of them have the Punisher skull logo. And the Punisher is super interesting in a lot of ways. We've already talked about he's the most violent of the vigilante superheroes. Batman has a no kill rule, but Punisher certainly doesn't. Batman can break arms and bones, but he won't kill someone. Punisher
seems to enjoy it.
That's his goal. And I know we were talking about this before, but I can't remember if it was on air or after we stopped recording, but the Punisher actually debuted as a villain. So he was a bad guy for Spider-Man in the 1970s. And in that kind of vigilante spirit of the 1980s, we talked about in our pop culture episode, he became super, super popular and got his own line and became kind of the anti-hero vigilante. And like I said before, he's super violent. One researcher estimated that across comic books from 1973 to 2011, so I read all these comic books and kind of counted, Punisher killed almost 50,000 people.
Yikes.
In that time frame. Yeah, that's an average of 1,300 kills per year, 106 kills per month, and 3.5, which I rounded up to four kills per day.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. And like you said, Punisher logo has been adopted by the Blue Lives Matter movement.
Yes, and explanations for this vary. Like Frank Castle is a military veteran, and there's a close affiliation between military and police. We also have talked about how the vigilante attitude is supportive of the pursuit of evildoers, free of legal hindrance, and how the law and legal structures interfere with true justice, and how violence is the correct way to deal with the bad guys. And also, as we cover in the book, police have historically turned a blind eye to lynch mobs and have colluded with white vigilante activity and violence.
And even though, you know, Blue Lives Matter and Netflix have kind of made the Punisher out to be a hero, the creators of the Punisher comics have said they never intended, like, to make him as a hero.
Interesting.
And if you read the comics, oftentimes he's kind of, like, considered an outsider. So he's not, like, a hero like the rest of us.
Yeah.
So the Civil War comic, which is quite different from the Captain America Civil War movie. I mean, there's some similarities. Obviously, there's a civil war and all the superheroes are like breaking up and fighting each other, but the reasons are, you know, different. It's, you know, more intricate. It's one of my favorite stories. But anyway, in the Civil War comic, where you think like the superheroes are splitting up and they want like the best people on their team, nobody wants the Punisher.
Aww.
So both sides are like,
imagine this
guy is unhinged. He's violent. He's crazy. Like, we don't want him on our side.
Yeah.
So anyway, like all of the superheroes in the Marvel comic universe are kind of like, this guy's too much. This guy's too much for us. And the comic book writers even address kind of like the Blue Lives Matter stuff. So recently there was an issue of The Punisher where he's like approached by two police officers and they're basically expressing support for him, saying like, hey, we love you. And they've got his, you know, Punisher logo, Blue Lives Matter on their car. And so The Punisher like walks up and he rips the sticker off the car and like tears it up. And he says like, you know, we're not the same. You uphold the law. You help people. I gave all that up a long time ago. You don't do what I do. Nobody does.
Okay, so what are the big takeaways or lessons from superhero vigilantes?
Obviously, they're awesome. They're cool.
Except for the Punisher.
Well, so, you know, Spider-Man used to be my favorite superhero.
Yes.
Until I played the Batman Arkham City game, which is Arkham City. You know, there's like four or five Arkham games, but Arkham City is my favorite one of all time. And like in those games, you really just feel like Batman. You get to do like awesome interrogations. You get to like snap arms and break bones and like use smoke bombs and use stealth to terrify the thugs. So like in the stealth parts, obviously like the bat, you know, I mean, this is, you know, kind of like a, it's a game mechanic, but in the story, it's kind of explained as like the you know, supervillains attach heart rate monitors to all of their henchmen so that they know when Batman takes one out. But like, you know, that's that's also kind of like part of the game mechanic, because as you start like taking them out, they get more scared and they get more terrified. And so you can like zoom in on them and see like how scared they are. You know, if they're like, you know, calm, or if they're normal, or if they're terrified, and their behavior changes based on when they're like more scared. So so you can actually play this as like, okay, I'm going to terrify these, you know, bad guys, like sneak up on them. And I mean, you have like an electric gadget. So you can like sneak and take one guy out, and then the other guys will come and check on it, and you can like shoot one of them with the electric gadget, and then they'll like fire their gun up in the air, and it'll scare all the
fun.
It's super awesome. But anyway, I think we should be mindful of a few lessons about vigilante superheroes.
Okay, give them to us.
Vigilante superheroes oftentimes focus on, you know, street criminals, not alien invaders or superpowered monsters. And I think, you know, this is kind of reflective of the system where we tend to ignore or downplay those big things like white collar crime or corporate crime with devastating environmental harm, and focus on locking up drug addicts instead of the you know, big picture things. And as always, we should be careful about this idea of retributive violence, that those who break the law deserve to be hurt or who deserve to be killed, and that the police should be freer to do that. It's kind of like the scene in The Dark Knight. It's obviously one of my favorite scenes in the movie, but like, you know, Joker's been arrested and Commissioner Gordon is like interrogating Harvey Dent, and Rachel have been kidnapped. They're trying to find out like where he is, and Joker's playing games, and Commissioner Gordon's like, well, if we're going to do this, I'm going to need a cup of coffee. And so he gets up and he walks out of the room, and then like Batman steps out of the shadows and slams Joker's head down on the table and, you know, starts throwing him around the room and beating him up. So like, you know, this idea that it takes, you know, slamming somebody's head against the wall or table to
Again,
really get the job done. That's an awesome scene, but that's not Great. That's not justice. In real life. No. And if this is our last episode about vigilantes overall,
for now,
the law, the Constitution exists to guarantee procedural justice by the state when responding to crime. And Lord knows there's plenty of problems with state justice in general. But extra legal justice and vigilantism is, you know, problematic. Taking the law into our own hands for retributive violent purposes can create lots of problems. As cool as it would be to have like a cape and swoop down and terrify the heck out of bad guys.
Yeah.
That's not procedurally just.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to say about superhero lessons?
Not until my spin.
Not till your spin?
Yes.
Well, then let's go ahead and get there to our minute to spin it, where we each give our takeaway from the show today. So, Tommy, tell us what's your spin in just a minute.
I just want to reiterate something that you said just a minute ago, but also something we've discussed before, which is that, you know, with one exception really that we talk about in our book, so you'll just have to stay tuned for that. Vigilantes always punch down, so they never really use their power to fight against structural injustices or go after people who have the power to cause mass suffering on a scale that your average street criminal just cannot, is not capable of. Yeah. And the focus on individual level crimes and street crimes, it's reflected in the criminal legal system as a whole.
Yeah.
So I would like to see the superhero story where they punch up instead of down. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned that Superman episode or a like comic book or story or narrative where they, you know, kind of decimated the whole neighborhood. That's not what we're looking for here. You know, maybe something a little bit more inspirational. And that's one of the reasons why Black Panther is one of my favorites. I would just like to end this spin by saying, buy our book.
Yes.
Okay. Ben, what's your spin?
Or we might break our rule against retributive violence.
Right.
We will find you.
We will.
So I'm going to recycle, reuse, and reduce.
The last spin.
Yeah, I know. I know I've used this before, but anyway, here we go.
It's okay.
Na 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 na. Batman. Holy vigilante, Tommy. You know, violence in Batman is campy, hilarious, cool. But overall, our pop culture messages about vigilantes is that, you know, we should be more aware of the ways that it might affect our thinking that the quote-unquote bad guys deserve violence. As I said in my spin, for pop culture vigilantes, violence is never the answer, unless the question is what rhymes with silence. and Batman, you know, he's particularly egregious on this point, even though he is my favorite, because all of his foes have mental health disorders. So basically the idea is the best way to deal with mental health problems is just to beat it out of. The concept of vigilantism is a violation of procedural justice. As I said before, it's procedurally unjust. And for Law and Order fans, a little bit more law, rule of law, and less focus on order. No extra legal prevention, investigation, or punishment.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. Check out our website linked in show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.